Now, who's here for the first time? If you're here for the first time, anybody here for the first time? Everybody's been here for the healing classes, right? Correct? Okay, because I don't want to, and I got my supervisor there. She's going to make sure, if she gives me the thumbs up, you got to wait till at 7 o'clock. Either give me the thumbs up or this, okay? If it's this, I got to come back next week, okay? Okay. So far, so good. Okay, good. Now, the reason why I say that is because tonight's lesson is going to build on what you've been hearing all along. We've been hearing in this class scriptures, foundational scriptures concerning healing. Amen? And I think several weeks ago I had the opportunity to be with you. And my approach, how I'm going to take the class, is I'm going to take it from the point of view that we already know what healing, we know the scriptures concerning healing, but now we're going to look at it from the point of view of us as believers ministering healing. Everyone got that? Okay, so turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Let's start at Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we're going to begin at verse 8. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with me. If you got one of those little cell phones, you can turn on your cell phone and pick whatever version you want. But let's all read it. I want everybody to look. I want you to see what the Word of God has to say, okay? And Psalm 145, this is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of praise. But listen to what he says, verse 8. Are you there? Okay, I want to make sure everybody's there. And my friend's going to give me the thumbs up when everybody's there. All right, we're there. Okay, ready? Let's read. The Lord is gracious and full of what? Compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to who? To all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So in other words, what the psalmist is saying there, he says the Lord is what? Gracious and full of what? Compassion. So we could say it this way. Healing is really an act of God's compassion. Everyone got that? It's an act of his compassion and mercy. We can also say this, that healing is a manifestation of God's goodness, right? Because in the scriptures we see when Peter and James was at the temple and the beggar was asking for alms, when they said in the name of Jesus, be healed, right? He walked up and he was leaping and singing. And what was he doing? Praising God, right? So it's an act of God's goodness and it's an act of his compassion. We're still in Psalm. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm, the 107th Psalm. Psalm 107, and look down at verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. This is a familiar passage to many of us, but let's look at it as if we're looking at it for the first time. Amen? Verse 20, he says this. The psalmist says, he sent his word and did what? And healed them, and what else? And delivered them from their destructions. Now, here's what I want you to think about. He there refers to the Father. The Father sent what? His word. Now, we know that the word in John, it says John 1:14, and the word was what? Made flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. So we could say it this way. The Father sent his son, right? And what did he do? He healed them. He healed everybody, everyone that came in contact with Jesus and was in need of healing, he healed, okay? So he sent his word and healed them, right? Now, today, for believers, Jesus has commissioned us. Now, the Father sent the Son, right? And he healed them, right? But the Son has sent each and every one of us. So turn to Mark's Gospel in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. The Father sent the Son, and the Son sent us. Amen? Verse 18. Now, we're not going to read all. Let's just read verse 18. We're not going to read the whole commission, but let's just pick up at verse 18, because this is Jesus speaking. He says, in reference to those who are believers, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen? And they shall recover. So think about this. You're a believer, right? Lift up your hands. I can't really lift up one because I'm holding the mic with the other. But I want you to lift up both of your hands. Lift up both of your hands. You take your hands. Now put them down. It's like you're laying them on the sick. When every time you lay your hands on the sick in Jesus' name, they shall what? Recover. So tonight what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about ministering to the sick. Okay? Because that's something that the Spirit of God gave me to share with you. How to minister to the sick. So if you're going to take notes, I'm going to do some bullet points. Okay, if you're taking notes, right? Point number one is this. Before you minister to the sick, you must be thoroughly convinced that it's God's will to heal the sick. Let me say that one more time. Before you can minister to the sick, you must be thoroughly convinced that it's God's will to heal the sick. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Meditate on the promises of God. When we meditate on God's word, when we're looking at God's word, when we're speaking God's word, we are really, in essence, meditating on his word. When we're meditating on his word, we're really meditating on his promises. So the promises are in the word, right? I just gave you three of them, right, that we just looked at, but there's a whole host of other scriptures, okay? So that's point number one. That's where we're going to, that's the starting point. Number one, before we're going to minister to the sick, we have to know, you and I, we have to know that it's God's will to heal the sick. And we have to be thoroughly convinced. Now, what's going to thoroughly convince us is not a good pep talk from a pastor or an elder. What's going to have to convince us is you're going to have to be so fully convinced of God's word. You're going to have to be so full of reading God's will that it'll just ooze out of you. That's when you know you're full. When it starts to ooze, you know you're full, right? So we have to be thoroughly convinced of what? That it's God's will to do what? Heal the sick. That's number one, right? Point number one. Now, point number two. I'm not going too fast, am I? Okay. Point number two. I'm okay. Good. Thank you. That's my boy. She told me I'm okay, so I'm okay. Okay, point number two. Don't be moved by the situation or circumstance. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 be moved by the situation or circumstance. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's in parentheses, but it's a very powerful statement that the Spirit of God was speaking through Paul. Are you there? Let's read it together. For we walk by what? Faith and not by what? So let's say it again. Say, for we walk and not by sight. One more time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to change the word walk to live. For we live by faith and not by what we see, not our senses. Okay, remember I said here, point number two, don't be moved by the situation or circumstances, okay? Now, I'll give you an example. One time I was sent to the hospital, visit one of our people who were in the hospital. He was in ICU. He was in a coma. He was in a room by himself. So here it is. I come into the room. He's laying down. He got all the stuff on him. Machine's going beep, 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 beep. Nobody's in the room. So I walk in there. He's in a coma. So now the question is, what do you do? That's good. But here's what I did. I gave him one of the best sermons that I've ever teached or preached on all the promises of healing. While he was in that comatose state, I was speaking like I'm talking to you. I said, brother so-and-so, I'm here because God sent me here and he has a word for you. And the word is this, by his stripes you're healed. And I went through all the scriptures. I went to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Himself bore our infirmity on the cross. By his stripes we're healed. Matthew 8:17. And when evening was come, they brought all the sick unto Jesus, and Jesus healed them all, as it was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. I also said 1 Peter 2:24. Himself on the tree bared our sins, that by his stripes we were healed. healed. I said, so if we were, brother, we are healed. I preached the best healing message that I have ever done to that guy that was in a comatose state. One of the orderlies came in. First of all, they thought I was crazy. Like, man, what is he doing? Don't he realize? See, here's the deal. I wasn't talking to his flesh. I wasn't talking to his mind. I was talking to his spirit. See, so that's why you can't be moved by what you see. I'll give you another example of what I'm talking about. Don't be moved by what you see. Several years ago, my nieces, one of my sisters, was in ICU. She was in a coma. The doctors didn't know which way it was going to go. So my nieces called me, and I was in the middle of doing something. I had a meeting that I had to attend, but I had time just enough to come by and see them. And as I'm driving to the hospital, it's Einstein Hospital in the Bronx. I'm driving from Rockland. I'm driving to Einstein. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's another thing. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in tongues while I'm driving. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God told me. He said, today, your sister will not go. Today is not her day to go. So when I got to the hospital, I went to my nieces. She has four daughters, but three of them were there. And I shared with them, I said, listen, I need you three to agree with me concerning what the Word of God says. And I went to Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. And I asked my three nieces, do you agree that that's the will of God to heal your mother? They said, yeah. I said, okay, now all of us, we're going to agree in prayer right now, according to Matthew 18:19. And Matthew 18:19 says this, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, right, it shall be done of our Father who's in heaven. So we all agreed. I went, laid hands on my sister, and I said in the name, my sister's name is Evelyn, but we call her Evie. I said, Evie, in accordance to the Word of God, and we have set ourselves in agreement with God's word. Himself, Jesus, bore your infirmity, and by his stripes you are healed. So I laid my hands on her. Then I also kissed her forehead, but I wouldn't recommend any of you do that. That was my sister, so I did that. So anyway, I did that, and I left out. 15 minutes after I left, she came out of the coma. She came out totally healed. Now, here's what she said. Now, listen, here's what she said. She said, and she mentioned my name, she said, so-and-so was here, right? Me, her younger brother. And they said, yeah, how did you know? She said, I heard every word he said. She said, I heard every word he said to all of you. Then I heard every word he said to me. He said, and then she said that this is in her own, let's put it this way, my family's not a church family. We didn't grow up in church. We're not Bible people. So she said, she told the devil, she says, when my little brother comes here, he's going to kick your, you know what? But that was her words. But she came out of it totally healed. The reason why I'm saying that is if you're going to go visit somebody and they're in a coma, speak the word. Here's what happens to a lot of people in comas and good meaning people want to go see them in the hospital. They go look at them. Wow, they don't look so good. Man, what did the doctor say? They only got how many more days? What's happening? What's failing? But they're hearing that. They're hearing that. So that's why you got to watch your words. That's very important. Watch your words. Everyone got that? Now, did I jump ahead of myself? Let me take a look. I think that's number three. Watch your words. Yeah, watch what you say. When visiting the sick, refrain. This is moving into another area. When visiting the sick. Now, everybody does this all the time. When they go visit somebody, what's the first thing they walk in and say? What happened to you, right? My folks are straight to the point. Man, what happened to you? Man, what happened? I heard they said, and then what happened? What happens? The person begins to rehearse what happened. Like I was in my kitchen fixing a meal, and all of a sudden I fell out. Or I was at work at the terminal and I fell out. So what happened? If you get 15 people walking in there asking you what happened, what are you doing? You're reinforcing the negative attack of the devil. See, the Bible tells us give no place to the devil. Now, it's obvious you're in the hospital. Something must have happened. Okay? But try to refrain as much as you can from asking people, well, how did you get here? Because, see, if you get them to keep repeating that, and I've seen that happen, one person, you know, as deacons of this church, we got to go, we visit people, right? But we went to this one place, and Grand Central? People coming in and out of this person's room, and everybody coming with the same thing. Oh, girl, what happened to you? You don't look too good. What did the doctor say? You know, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. So what you got to do is refrain from that. Now, here's what you can say, because, you know, we're not, you would say, oh, well, what should I say? What you can do is say when you walk in and you see them. Now, if you don't know what happened, right, because sometimes you may not know what happened, but sometimes you may know a little something, like so-and-so caught a stroke or fell, had a car accident. You know, you may know something, but just ask them this. Ask them this. There's nothing wrong with this. What's your name? Rose? Bruce. If Bruce is in the hospital, right, instead of me going, hey, man, Bruce, what happened to you, man? What happened? No, instead of saying that, I can say, Bruce, I, how are you holding up? How's things going right now? And then here's what's going to happen. What you want to do is, I want to take Bruce off of the reason why he's in there. Now, if Bruce is a believer, right, and I'm going to go to the non-believers to believers. If Bruce is a believer, I'm going to ask Bruce this one question. I'm going to say, Bruce, in all of this that has happened, what is the Lord speaking to you about? What word is he speaking to you about right now? See? What happens? That's moving us to the next point. What happens there is, he's going to tell me something, but listen, I'm going to listen. Point number four is, listen to what the person is going to say. Because here's the important part, and we miss over this. See, some of us come in, we got that zeal, and we got all those scriptures, and we want to blow them in and lay hands on people, and the power's going to hit, and they're going to jump up, and we're going to run out the door. No, listen. Because when you listen to people, you'll start to locate them. If you let people talk long enough, this is one thing I learned from my wife. My wife says, she said, William, if you let people talk long enough, you'll locate where they are. Jesus did that in many occasions. I'm going to show you, I'm give you some examples here. Okay, listen, okay? Now, Jesus, at the man at the pool of Bethesda, you don't have to turn there. Not there, let's turn there. Turn to John chapter 5. I want you to see this. We're talking about ministering to the sick. Amen? John chapter 5. This is the account of Jesus ministering to the man at the pool of Bethesda, right? Now, look at verse 5. Chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Okay, are you there? Okay, let's read it together. And there was a certain man which was there that had what? An infirmity for how long? 38 years. So in other words, he was sick for a long time, right? Now listen to this. See what happened. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been a long time in that case. So he said unto him, what? Will you be made whole? In other words, Jesus is trying to locate this guy right now, right? Jesus knew how long he was sick. He knew that by the gifts of the Spirit operating word of knowledge. He knew that this man was lying at this pool for 38 years. Notice Jesus say, man, you sure have been lying here for 38 years. He didn't talk about that. He said, will you be made whole? What was the man's response? Verse 7. And the impotent man said what? Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Now listen, Jesus located that guy. This guy wanted to get healed. He saw when the water is troubled, the first guy that got in there got healed, right? Which I have a question about that one, but that's for another time, another place. But he couldn't get there, so everybody beat him there. So he says, if I can just get a guy to get me there, I know I can get healed. So Jesus was locating this man's faith. But notice, Jesus elevated it. He said the man was waiting for a man to put him in the water, but what he failed to realize, there was a man standing in front of him that steals the water. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus said, will you be made whole, right? And the man said, I don't have no one to let me in, right? But look at what Jesus said right behind it, right? Verse 7, and Jesus said unto him what? rise, take up thy bed, and walk. In other words, he located that man. That man was in position to receive from God. Now, he was looking at the wrong thing, and Jesus just trying to change his direction around. What we do with people, and that's what I'm saying, when you're ministering to people, always bring the word of God to them. The word of God will redirect something that they're looking at the wrong way. Like, well, the doctor said I got to do this. Well, we're not contrary. Jesus wasn't contrary the man with his thought about people letting them in, helping them in. He said to him, will you be made whole? He was putting that man in position to receive. When we share the word of God with those that are sick, we're putting them in position to receive from God. But then Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And what happened? He responded, right? He got his healing, right? He received his healing. Let me give you another example. Are you ready for this one? In Mark chapter 10, turn to Mark chapter 10. In the Gospel of Mark, and look at chapter 10. There's another fellow in need of healing, right? And this man was Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was crying out. He heard that Jesus was coming by. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what he said. And they told him, be quiet. The crowd said, hey, man, shut up, man. You know, he can't see you. And he's walking. He shouted out louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have what? Mercy on me. So Jesus stopped, turned around, right? Now look at this. Look at verse 51. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, verse 49. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And I like what Bartimaeus did. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. Now, in that instance, you know what Bartimaeus was doing? He was making an exchange. Up until that time, because he was blind, he wore garments that said he was a beggar. So whenever they saw blind Bartimaeus, everybody knew who blind Bartimaeus was. Every time they saw him, they would give him money because they knew that was his only means of living, right? But when they said, Jesus calls for you, he took off that garment. In other words, he's saying, I'm no longer going to identify with being a beggar. Now I'm going to identify with coming to the Savior. But now listen what Jesus said. Jesus said this at verse 51. And Jesus answering saith unto him, what will thou that I should do unto you? Now, isn't that interesting? I always thought about that. I said, you know, if Bartimaeus would have had an attitude, right? If Jesus would have called him to him and said, Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus could have said, duh. What do you think? Well, you're blind like me? No, he didn't say that. He was in faith. Jesus was locating him. He says, what is it you want me to do for you? Because up until that point, Bartimaeus was living off of the generosity of other people, but now he's getting ready to experience the goodness of God. So Jesus asked him, what is it you want me to do for you? And what did he say? That I may have my sight, right? Now look at what Jesus said, verse 52. And Jesus answered unto him and said, what? Go thy way. What happened? Thy faith has made thee whole. Notice, his faith not only healed him, but made him whole. Amen? So in other words, what we see here is this. Listen for where people are. When they're sick and you're visiting them, listen because you'll locate them. You know, and there's nothing wrong with locating where people are. But here's what we want to do. Once we locate where they are, we want to do what Jesus did. When you locate where someone is, don't leave them there. Bring them closer. Let them know more about the goodness of God. Okay? Now, let's move on to another area. Number 5. This is a question. This is what I said earlier in this lesson. What time I got? Okay, I got some time. What if you're ministering to someone who's not a believer? What if you're ministering to someone who's not a Christian or they don't go to church, right? Now, if you got to go ministering to the sick, you're going to the hospital to visit maybe a relative, a friend or whatever, or even somebody, you're walking to the hospital, the Spirit of God says, go in there and minister to that person. How do you minister to someone who's not a Christian? How do you minister to someone who's not a believer? I'm asking that question. How do you minister to them? Tell them the love of God. Very good, very good. Here's what I want you to think about. This is, write this down. When you're ministering to someone who's not a believer or not a churchgoer, let's put it, you know, some people say, oh, they're churchgoers or they're not churchgoers or, you know, you don't know where they're at. Okay, either way, here's what I want you to do. When you're ministering to someone who's not a believer, that's the opportunity that we make God's will known to them. Okay, F.F. Barsworth said it this way. He says, faith begins where the will of God is known. He also said this, God's power can be claimed where the will of God is known. And I've had it happen many a times on many occasions. People who are not quote unquote Christians and they're sick. And if you ask them, can I pray for you? 99% of the time, they're going to say, yeah. But here's what you want to do. We want to make them know God's will. Remember the first scripture we started with? God is merciful, full of compassion. God loves them. So healing is an act of God's grace and mercy, even to the ungodly. Because notice it didn't say healing is just for the believer. And I like what that Syrophoenician woman said. Jesus says something very important to her. He said to that Syrophoenician woman in the Gospels, he says, you know, I don't give, you know, I'm not going to give bread to dogs. Healing, he said, the children's bread, healing is the children's bread, and you, Syrophoenicians, are dogs. But she says something very, and he was locating her. She said, yeah, sir, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. See, she didn't cop an attitude, right? But here's what happened. She knew. Jesus said he came. His mission was to the children of Israel, right? Not to the Gentiles at that time. But here's what she did. Her faith got her in line to receive her healing. So when you're ministering to those who are not believers, just make the will of the Father known. And I've seen it happen time and time again with people who are not church-going people. I'll just say it that way. Not church-going people. And even some church-going people, you kind of locate them too. Remember I shared with you the last time I was here, the guy Lottie. Remember I told you about Lottie when I was going to visit Brother Wade? Lottie was in his room, and Lottie was raising all this kind of ruckus, loud music and all this other stuff. Yeah, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I was ministering the word of God to Wade, sharing with him the promises of God, and he was responding to them. All of a sudden, Lottie got nice and quiet. He said, amen, can I sit down here? I said, yeah, I guess it's your room. He sat down there, and I'm still sharing the word of God. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. And I pointed to Lottie. I said, Lottie, you work a job, right? He said, yeah. And that job gives you benefits, right? He said, yeah. I said, what happens if you've got benefits and you don't use them? He shook his head and laughed. Man, you're going to blow. You're going to blow it. I said, well, you're right. But here's what happened. As I was sharing with him and making God's will known. See, when we share the word of God, all of a sudden Lottie got up and said, I'll be right back. He went to his little table in the hospital room, pulled out his Bible, and then came sat at the front. He was sitting in the back, then he sat in the front. So as I was ministering healing to Wade, right, he said, Lottie said, can you heal me too? Can you lay hands on me? I said, sure. Because God is what? Gracious to all, right? And the only requirement is you come in faith. Okay? So what I'm saying is make the will of God known. You'd be surprised how many people that heard stories about God, that God took this one, God took that one. That's not true. But make God's will known, okay, to those that are not believers, okay? Everyone got that? Now, let's move on to the next one. I'll give you an example about making God's will known. Okay, I got it right here. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. When we talk about making God's will known, see, because where God's will is known, then his power is present, right? So turn to Romans chapter 10. And And incidentally, Lottie received. He got what he came. He got what he needed. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Are you there? I'll wait for you to get there. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. It says it this way. I'm reading from the King James. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, okay? Okay, let me see the thumbs up if you're there. Thumbs up if you're there. Okay, good. All right, ready? Let's read. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So then faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So in other words, if you're sharing the word of God about healing, faith's going to come for healing. You got that? Faith will come for whatever you are speaking about in the word of God. So then faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing what? The word of God, not the opinions of men, not grandma's recipe, not uncle's recipe. Okay. Faith comes by hearing what? The word of God. So when you share the word of God, you're making the will of God known. So when we talk about salvation, you're in Romans chapter 10, right? Move up to verse 10. Look at what this is the means for salvation. For with the heart, man does what? Believes. So in other words, every man, every woman has a spirit. Everyone. So with the heart, we do what? Believe. And unto righteousness, and what? And with the mouth, confession is made what? Unto salvation. Now that's showing us how faith comes for salvation. So all a person has to do is we have to tell them the will of God. The will of God is that they should not perish, but come to know Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. What did he give? His only begotten son, that whosoever does what? Believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So now that's the will of God in salvation, right? And faith will come for that. Well, the same thing happens with healing. We make God's faith known. Amen. Now, faith must rest on the will of God alone. That's what F.F. Bosworth said also. Faith must rest on the will of God alone. Now, in the Old Testament, God revealed himself to his covenant people, the Jewish people, in the Old Testament. So in your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus. Okay. Genesis, Exodus. Okay. Exodus chapter 15. And let's look at verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Is everyone there? You there? Let me see the thumbs up. All right, we're there. Let's read. And said, if thou will do what? Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments. Does that sound like faith come by hearing? And keep all of his statutes. Now listen to what he says. I will put none. Now, it doesn't mean he puts some. In this, it means the passive permissive. It means he will allow. I will not allow these diseases come upon thee, which I have brought or allowed upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord that does what? Healeth thee. So in the Old Testament, God was revealing himself to his covenant people, Israel, as Jehovah Rapha. So they knew him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Amen. Now let's look at another passage. Turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Look at verse 25. This is one that I learned here being associated with RLCC, and I learned to incorporate it in my prayers when you pray for your food. Listen to what it says in verse Exodus 23, verse 25. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall do what? Bless thy bread and thy water. And I will do what? Take sickness away from the midst of thee. So in other words, the children under the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, had a covenant right with God concerning healing. That's why I like our Jewish brethren over in Monsey, over in this area. They have a covenant right Remember that outbreak last year about chicken pox or whatever that was happening? Measles? They had a covenant right. I was praying for those rabbis. I said, rabbis, get in your pulpit or whatever you have on in the synagogue and start to rehearse the promises of God. But here's the good news for us, you and I today. We have a better promise. We have a better covenant because it's been established on better promises. Amen? Theirs was established on a promise. Ours is established on the promise being fulfilled. Amen? So now turn to Isaiah 53. That's in the Old Testament. We're talking about how to minister healing to the sick. Amen? So we're talking about making the will of God known. Okay? Now in Isaiah 53, verse 4. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Are you there? And Isaiah says this. Now, Isaiah is prophesying. In other words, Isaiah is forecasting something that hasn't yet happened, but he's prophesying it. Amen? He's foretelling, okay? Listen to what he says. He says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he, who's the he there? Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He, Jesus, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? We are healed. So now we know, and this is what I was sharing with you, we make the will of God known. Now we know in Matthew 8:17. Turn to Matthew 8:17. I was talking about it, but I want you to see the connection. Matthew 8:17 runs in conjunction or runs in the fulfillment of what Isaiah 53:5 said. Look at verse 16. Go up to verse 16 of Matthew 8. Let's look at verse 16, but we're going to focus on 17. Are you there? Okay, let's read it. And when evening was come, they brought unto him Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and did what? Healed how many? Some? He healed all that were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bared our sicknesses. So Jesus healed all that was sick. So we need to make the will of God known to people by how? By speaking the word of God. That's point number 6. Make the will of God known to the people by speaking the word of God. Amen. Turn to Luke 6. Luke 6. I want you to see this. Now we have a lot of scripture, but I'm just going to highlight a few for you. And I want you to write down the other ones and you can meditate on those in your leisure. Amen. Luke 6:17. Okay. And this is Jesus right now in Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. They all came to do what? To hear him and to be what? To be healed of their diseases. Now, they came to do what? To hear and to be healed. Do you see the connection? Hearing and healing. Hearing and healing. Because you know what Jesus was saying? He was saying what he said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, right? And then he went on to list all those other things. So we need to make the will of God known to them. And the way we make it known is by the word of God. Jesus healed all that came to him. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm not going to read these, but these are scriptures to show where Jesus healed them all. Matthew 4:24. Matthew 12:15. Matthew 14:14. Luke 4:40. And Acts 10:38. Now, let these scriptures build faith for the persons or people that you're ministering to receive. Amen? So I'm saying meditate on those scriptures, but speak those words to them. Even, like I said, even if they're in a comatose state, you speak those words over them because who's hearing it? Their spirits are hearing it, okay? And their spirits will respond to the word of God. Amen? Now, number 7. Ways in which healing could be ministered. Now, I know I only have a brief time with you, so I'm not really going to full detail on these, but I want you to think about this. I want you to look at these ways in which healing can be ministered, because there's different ways in which healing can be ministered. And in the gospel, Jesus ministered healing to people on different ways on a number of occasions. Would you agree? So there are different ways in which we can minister healing. Okay. Here's one I want you to look at. We were in Mark. Go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Let's go back to the scripture we had earlier. Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. Let's go back there again. Okay. Mark 16 and verse 18. Are you there? Okay, let's read it again. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Here's what we're going to focus on. They shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Didn't you know that the laying on of hands is the doctrine of the church? That there's a doctrine, there's church doctrine that authorizes us to lay hands. Now, laying hands in different occasions, but here for the sick, we are authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick. Amen. And what's going to happen? They shall recover. Amen. I always like to tell people that. I said, listen, before I lay hands on anybody, I remember I learned this from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts said this. He said, don't lay your hands on anybody until you are charged with your faith. Your faith is being charged up. That way, when you go to lay hands on them, you're releasing your faith. Now, what I always tell people is this. I know it's the will of God to heal you. And I know that Jesus is the one who will heal you. One of the ways he heals and heals in the body today is by the laying on of hands. So when I lay my hands on you, I'm going to release my faith, knowing that it's God's will to heal you. But I tell the sick person, I want you to release your faith, knowing that Jesus is the healer and that it is his will to heal you. And the minute I touch you, that becomes a point of contact. So I want you to release your faith and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. See, that way I don't let sick people just sit there and look at me, you know. They got to do something, too. You got to charge their faith up, too, okay? So laying on of hands is one of the ways in which we can minister to the sick. Amen? Would you agree? Okay, let's turn to James chapter 5, the epistle of James. James chapter 5. I got to turn this. Okay. James chapter 5. Okay, where we are. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Okay, are you there? Okay, let's read verses 14 through 15, okay? Let's read it. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for who? The elders of the church, and let them pray over him. How? Anointing him with what? With oil. How? In the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall do what? Shall save the sick. And what's going to happen? And the Lord shall raise him up. If he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, here's what I always do with this one. This is one of the ways in which people can receive healing. By anointing with oil. But I always tell them this. The healing, where's the oil? Do we have the oil here? Yeah. Do we have oil over here? Yeah, it's right over here. I want to show you this. I do this with everybody when I minister to them and the Spirit of God directs me to anoint them with oil. I say, you see this oil? Let me give it to right here. See this oil? In that oil is just oil by itself. There is no magical power in that oil. There is nothing in that oil that's going to really heal you. But when we take this oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a type of the anointing. So when I anoint you with oil, it's the prayer of faith that's going to raise you up. Not the oil. But the oil is a reminder of the anointing of God. Now, I've heard people say this, and like I said, you listen to which way to minister these things, because for some people, they need something tangible. So this is a tangible thing. It's a reminder. Oil is a type of the anointing. The oil is not anointing. Okay, everyone got that? But it's a type of the anointing, and it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the anointing. So what I do is I anoint people with oil, and I say in the prayer of faith. So don't put your faith. I always tell people this. Don't put your faith in the oil. Put your faith in the fact that I'm going to anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith, the prayer offered up in faith, is going to bring healing. Amen? So sometimes you do that to people, and, you know, they like it. But also, it's as directed. Once again, it's as directed. You know, there is a direction in which the Holy Spirit leads us in, but as directed by the Spirit of God. Now, the other one I want to talk about, show you, and I just led into it, being directed by the Spirit of God. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And while you're turning there, there is an anointing that comes for healing. There's an anointing that is tangible. When the anointing for healing isn't present, it's tangible. During the healing revival in the 40s and 50s, a lot of the evangelists had what they called that healing anointing. Well, what it was they came in contact with the healing anointing. How many of you ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Okay, Catherine Kuhlman was an evangelist, but she was so sensitive to the direction and the Spirit of God. She would, in her meetings, people would gather and they would play worship music, and they would play worship music for almost an hour. Almost an hour, or close to that, sometimes maybe even longer. Then she would get up and say, "He's here. The Holy Ghost is here." What she was doing was she was sensitive to the healing anointing. And when that healing anointing began to flow, people can just come up here and boom, go down, come up, healed. But that's a healing anointing. So there are other ways in which people receive healing. Okay, I want you to understand. Everyone got that? But now let me give you an example. You're at Acts, right? Acts chapter 9, and let's pick it up at verse 33. Acts chapter 9, verse 33. Is everyone there? Okay, I'm going to read it. And there, referring to Peter, let's go back to verse 32. It makes more sense. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of" what? The palsy, right? "And Peter said unto him," notice, Peter just spoke. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't anoint him with oil. What did he do? He just spoke. But he just didn't speak flippantly. He was speaking under the direction and the instruction of the Holy Spirit. We call it the gifts of the Spirit. He was operating in several of the gifts of the Spirit. And look at what he says. "And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make up thy bed." And he did what? And he rose up immediately. You see that? Just a word spoken. But he was speaking under the anointing. Everyone got that? Or you're moved because you heard the thing go shh. Now that's our wonderful heating system. Oh, believe what you want. Okay. Well, it was the heating unit. Okay. So turn to Acts chapter 14. So here we see Peter under the anointing, speaking to someone, and the person receiving their healing. Right. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Verse 8. Now, this is Paul, the apostle, right? We're going to read verses 8 through 10. Is everyone there? And let's read that. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked." This guy never walked, okay? "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now listen, Paul was preaching, right? And the man was over here, crippled with his feet from birth, never walked a day in his life. But Paul did what? Perceived. He perceived word of knowledge. Word of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, but also gifts of faith. What did Paul do? Okay, he same heard Paul steadfastly proceeding to be healed. Now, Paul said with a little voice. He said with a what? Let me hear a loud voice. Okay, he said, now, I want you to say, stand up on thy feet. Some of you don't sound confident. With a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And what happened? The man jumped up. Whoa, he jumped up, right? And he leaped and walked, right? And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men, right? In other words, they got that wrong, right? But here's the key, just to tie this all in, because we only have a few more minutes. There are different ways and manners in which we can minister healing, okay? And just like a skillful workman that has a tool belt, you know, he's got the hammer, the saw, and whatever, screwdriver, whatever. Or if we want to move it over to cooking, the chef that has all the spices on the rack and knows where everything's at, we need to know which one to use when and how. So that way we're not cookie-cuttering this, okay? But being led by the Spirit of God, being full of the Spirit of God, we are able to discern. Now, the last point I wanted to leave you with is as we're ministering to the sick, this one is very important, vitally important. The foundation for all we do, right, when we minister to the sick, we must demonstrate the love of God. I want you to think about this for a minute. When I say the name of this person, and I'm talking about a person. There's many people, but I'm going to say the name of one person who really personified the love of God. And I'm going to say the name. Tell me what you think about it. Mother Teresa. Right? Everybody knows about Mother Teresa. Not just the Catholic Church. The whole world knows about Mother Teresa. Because what did Mother Teresa do? She went to Calcutta and took care of the lepers and the poor. And when they asked her, and I think she won the Nobel Peace Prize, right? She did, right? And they asked her, well, what are you going to do with the money? She looked at them and said, nothing. She said, I guess I'll give it to the poor. That's where her heart was. She personified the love of God. I don't care who you, all over the world, everybody, this little woman, she wasn't a big woman, little frail woman, was faithful in demonstrating. And she said, and they asked her, well, why do you keep going there? Why do you keep going there? And she says, I go there to show them the love of God because nobody else has shown them that. So demonstrate, when we're talking about ministering to the sick, we have to demonstrate the love of God. Because the Bible says this in Galatians, right? It says 5:6, faith works how? By love. In other words, faith gets its life. Faith gets its force by love. So when we're ministering to the sick, we got to let them know, first of all, God loves you and I love you. And, you know, and there's something about it. It's how can I put this? The love of God is so broad and so deep and so powerful. Just the love of God, letting somebody know that God loves them brings healing. It starts to it creates a climate in which healing can be manifested. Love, the love of God, okay? I want to close with this. Turn to Matthew 14:14. It's one of the scriptures I had you write down. But let's read this tonight, Matthew 14:14. Because the one who personified love, the one who's the personification of love is who? Jesus. So if we follow his example, right, if we follow what he did, then we can get his results. Would you agree? Matthew 14:14, are you there? Let's read it together. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was what? Moved with compassion toward them. Now hold it right there. He was moved with compassion toward them. Remember we started off in Psalm? God is full of what? Compassion. So Jesus was moved, motivated by compassion towards them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. God, the Master, Jesus, he speaks that today. And that's how we are to minister healing to the sick. Amen.